look see
these
blue.
Indeed.
It happens every night.
Every old night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sweet.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care.
Nope.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Oh. Budget. Live. The not so live variety from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. And welcome to the podcast for Monday, March the 11th, you bunch of lowlifers. And if you're just joining me for the first time ever and you're wondering what that song is, that is Biloxi Blues. It's old. I wrote it a long time ago. I recorded it a long time ago, but you can find it on all sorts of platforms if you choose, if you enjoy that type of thing. And if you're wondering why I called you a lowlifer, well, that's what the listeners and viewers of this program refer to themselves as. And I, too, am a lowlifer. So welcome, lowlifers, new and old. It's good to be in the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. Spent some time up in Appleton, Wisconsin, up there in the Great White North in the MPFL Live studio last few days. Got home last night, recording this on Sunday, as always, for the most part, as always. And what a week. What a week. What a deal. What a tournament. Long time in the making. So grateful to be a part of that event, of that organization. And the only bad thing about this week was that I missed my Alabama Bass Trail family while I was having so much fun, because Miss K and the crew, stupid dumb Darian, Jason Duran, and my old buddy Robbie Floyd, he filled in for me this year, which is a weird thing to say, but they were down at Lake Martin and I missed them. But we've got the Smith Lake Alabama Bass Trail North coming up this week, so I'll be down there. If you're around Smith Lake, the dam there on Saturday, I'll be running my mouth up on the stage. But that was the only thing. It was kind of bittersweet. I want to be everywhere at one time, because I love every opportunity I get, and everybody that trusts me to work for them there. But this MPFL championship, man, the first one, you know, we were supposed to have one in 2021. Things got crazy at the end of the year. It went awry, and it's taken us this long to kind of get things where they could, throw down a proper championship, if you will. And they did that down in Del Rio, Texas. Lake Amistad showed up. It showed out. Del Rio, Texas showed out. There were so many people that came out to check out the guys weighing in. There are only 25 anglers in it, 26 qualified, and only 25 got to fish. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I am grateful that, I got to call it as it went down. We had a three-day weight record. Brandon Perkins, three-day weight record broken, 71 pounds, I think. On day one, he broke the biggest bass in NPFL history, the power pole move big bass, if you will, with a 10-6. Dude, he had 29.9 with a 10-6, but we had all kind of stuff going on. We had a Cox Swatch. We had John Cox on camera two of the 3 days. John ended up with the top 10 there, had 27 pounds the first day. Kind of fell off a little bit, maybe because he's fished 37 tournaments in a row. Had Patrick Walters, had Jesse Wise on the final day. Jesse caught a 10-9 behemoth. You can go see that clip on my social media. I gladly shared that. We were going so crazy in studio. Biggest bass we've ever had on live, obviously, in our few short years. But it really, you don't see a lot of 10-pounders get caught on live. And I think everybody that's done live coverage for a number of years longer than I have will tell you that that's a special moment when a fish like that comes across the old live program there. It was intense, man. A lot of raw emotion from Jesse when that happened. But Brandon Perkins becomes our inaugural champion. And he is now a 3-time MPFL champion. He narrowly missed winning Angler of the Year in that 2021 season. But he's an OG MPFLer. There are only like a dozen guys that have fished all the seasons. And Brandon has done that. So it was very cool to see him take home a platinum shield. The shield was all platinum. It was very cool. But the league threw a hell of a banquet for the anglers. And, man, it was just a lot of positivity. And I am very proud that they got to that moment, and they all got to certainly have that moment with the anglers down in Del Rio. I was bummed out that Fat Cat and I couldn't be there to celebrate with everybody, but fantastic event, man. And after all, you know, I got emotional on live yesterday just thinking about all of it. You know, Brandon, for Brandon to win, like I said, to be an OG MPFLer, and there's nothing. I'm grateful for every single person that fishes MPFL, and it's just to know the roller coaster that we've been through. I look right at this camera every week. I talk about every tournament organization, things going on. I give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I give you my opinions, my takes on it. And I've looked at this camera a few times and told you that, hey, man, MPFL, them boys got it wrong, or they screwed up, or that sucked, or that was great, or whatever. I try to be as transparent as possible, and it has been a roller coaster, and it's been a roller coaster for folks like Brad and Michelle Fuller, and you know, Al McCullough, Paul Benson, the ownership group there, and then the original founders, and then thank goodness Mike and Kathy Como came into the picture. They kind of saved the day, and they bought the majority share of the MPFL there a few years ago and a couple years back, man, and just really got it headed in the direction it's headed. And I think that they're on solid footing. I think it's just amazing to see, to be honest. And there were so many questions when it came into fruition that it was actually going to happen. But dude, this was so, for all the naysayers, for anybody that's negative about it, and there's still plenty of that, and that's fine. This was my 20th event in that live broadcast studio in the seat doing what I get to do for them. 20th event, man. Gives me chills just saying that. People didn't think it would last 2 events. After the first season, I never thought we would come back. So to not only have finished our 20th event together, these are people that never ran a bass fishing tournament. Okay? People that dreamed this up, and they're 20 events in now, just knocking out their championship. And listen, I know I'm a homer, as people call it, when you like pull for your home team. But I could not be more proud of that group of people. I could not be more proud to be a part of it. And I cannot thank them enough for letting me be a part of it, but I can't thank the anglers enough for making it all possible. Because without anglers that believe in what they're trying to do, and the anglers that spread the message of positivity of what's going on over there, and some of the, quote, bigger name guys, the more seasoned professional tournament anglers showing up, the Kyle Welchers, the Patrick Walters, the John Coxes of the world, the Jason Williamsons, Zach Burge, those kind of guys giving it a look. So the industry has to give it a look. It's really something, man. But we got a good, great group of people over there. And I say this all the time. If you're not watching, like, all the bitching going on social media about Forward Facing Sonar, if you did not watch the MPFL live on those 2 days to watch what went down in Amistad and how they were catching them, like, shame on you. Get out of the comments then, right? Like, that's what I would say without question, because it was a, for the most part, shallow water beat down, big swim baits, some Texas rig, just hook sets, like Patrick Walter said it on stage yesterday, just that old drop back hook set. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on, dude. Like I said, 10-pounder on cameras, just insane. It was insane. So, definitely a just overwhelmingly positive event. And I'm again, just to sound like a broken record, I am beyond pumped to be a part of it. So congrats to the MPFL. Congrats to Brandon Perkins. And we're going to talk to him here in just a few minutes about all of it. Let's talk Bassmaster Classic real quick. We're having a throwdown, the classic LBL live. Low Budget Live at the Hunt Club. The Hunt Club, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Hunt Club is who will be hosting us low lifers this year. Lots planned. Okay. March the 23rd on Saturday. Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Hunt Club. There will be, I will say this, there will be so many, I am overwhelmed by the sponsor support this year, the people in my life. There will be such an overwhelming amount of giveaways at both the Express Boats booth. I'll be doing a podcast there during the day at the expo if you're not one of those low-lifers that likes the bar life, and I get that. There will be a lot of that as well at the Express booth. But I can tell you that night at the Low Budget Live party, you're going to get drowned in some swag. You're going to get drowned in some giveaways because I've got several companies like Gill and Baitworks and a couple sneaky announcements we're going to be making that night with some other companies that will be doing some giveaways as well. So Baitworks and Gill for sure on board. There's going to be lots of things going on. So March 23rd, we're going to start at 7 p.m. The goal is to have a live podcast like we always do, probably 30, 45 minutes worth, something like that. And we'll try our best to stream it out if you can't be there with us. And then after that, we're going to take a pause, gather ourselves. And then I have a band of heathens lined up with myself included in that. And it's going to be a large time with special guests involved. It's a night that if it's anything like Knoxville last year, you don't want to miss it. And Hunt Club's not the biggest place in Tulsa. So I think my suggestion would be get there early, stay late, and hang out with us. It's a celebration for the lowlifers, and I look forward to seeing everybody there, okay? All right, let's thank some sponsors real quick that make this all possible. Let's talk about Gill. Actually, hang on a second before I do that. I got this wrong last week. And I always do, but I want to make sure. All right. I got it. Gillfishing.com. You can use code LBLGIFT. If you spend $100 at Gill, $100, and use code LBLGIFT, they're going to send you a Voyager Day Pack. That's a waterproof bag. Got some backpack straps on it. Be sweet in the boat or take it on a plane, whatever. I don't know why you would need it waterproof on a plane. If you do, you're probably in trouble, not worried about your damn backpack. But the Voyager Day Pack is the LBL gift right now. But get on there, get you a rain suit, get you some sun gloves, get you some shoes, get you one of them Fitzroy jackets. Got some new sun shirts coming, the Infinity. Woo! You're going to want them. Get on there, gillfishing.com, LBL gift is where it's at. ProGuide Batteries.com is where you can use code LBL10 to save on some of the best batteries in the game. These folks have been in the battery business for many moons. But there's all kind of battery accessories on there as well. But get you some of those 31 AGMs. Get you some of those new lithium trolling batteries, some of the lithium cranking batteries. Trust people that have been in the business for as long as ProGuide and use code LBL10 to let them know you're a lowlifer right there at ProGuideBatteries.com. Bait-works.com, bait-wrx, the exclusive online home for the LOB jig at the Classic. We will be dropping a new color that I am very, 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 very beyond excited about in the finer than frog hair skirt material. A Classic drop, and then it'll be available after that on bait-wrx.com. Very pumped about it. You can use code Duncan-10 at Bait-Works to get all your needs. You might ought to get on there and get some mag drafts or some Berkeley Coal Shads after that MPFL event because it was dominated by those. And last but not least, you better hang that banner. It's almost classic time. That Bassmaster Classic winning Banner, the only aluminum boat, the first aluminum boat, excuse me, not only, Gussie won in an aluminum boat as well last year, but the first ever aluminum boat to take a lap with that classic trophy. The X21 Pro has got that 96-inch beam, fastest hole shot in the game with the 250 Yamaha show, just pushing that bad boy wherever you need it. More tackle storage than you can shake a stick at. Very stable fishing platform, comfortable fishing platform, great in rough water. Express Boats, go ride in one. I promise you, you will be blown away. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right, moving on. All right, Bassmaster Open. Bassmaster Open, huge, huge, huge congrats to my dude, Kyle Austin. Been knowing Kyle a minute. Running buddies with my little buddy, Sam George. But Kyle Austin, 83 pounds or something like that for 3 days. On the home pond, he's a Santee boy. Catfish guide more than anything on Santee. Cool cat. Been fishing those opens, man. He's been close a few times. Finally gets it done on the home pond. He's going the Bassmaster Classic. Super pumped for that young man. We will definitely do a podcast with him sooner than later. He's an interesting young man. Hard worker in the sport of bass fishing. Laker Howell, Randy Howell's son. Come on with it. Thank you for making me feel old, Laker Howell. I met Randy Howell when I was 12 years old. He was one of my first ever fishing heroes that I actually got to know. Love me some Randy Howell, Robin Howell, the Howell family. Now Laker Howell out here compete makes me feel, and I'm 40, right? I'm feeling it more and more every day. Makes me feel old. So congratulations and shame on you, Laker Howell. Shame on you. Man, I'm getting, he's married? Like what? Laker Howell should be this big. To me, he should be this big. My microphone went out. This big. But an incredible tournament. Hated I missed that as well. That's another, you know, I'm on MPFL Live. I got to see clips. Man, I was updating the Bass Track in studio here whenever I got a chance to see if Kyle was going to be able to hold on. Laker made a heck of a run at it, man, there. And Dakota Ebear with another top 10. He's going to be a problem in those Bassmaster EQs, open EQs all year long. But congrats to those guys. And while we're just real quick, I spent a lot of time talking about this last week, you know, obviously with Jesse. But I want to say this, man. I posted a clip from the show where I was talking about the youth movement, and it's just a minute clip. And it's always amazing to me some of the feedback and some of the comments that and the overall takes that people have right now are just really stupid, to be honest. But I just want to say this, and this kind of goes in line with the fact that some young guys just did well. But if your main narrative when you make a comment is that young anglers don't work as hard and they're given everything and it's daddy's money and it's a free ride and they get free tackle and they've all got more sponsors than the older generation and they don't have to work for it as more. If that is your like overall take, I don't give a damn if you love forward facing sonar, hate it, you don't like the way the sports go, whatever. But if your take is centered around that, and listen to me, when I look at this camera and I see it in my comments all the time on the podcast, see it on Facebook, see it on tournament comments. If that is your overwhelming narrative, you are nothing but a jealous, jealous, jealous dude that you are not getting to do what these young people are doing. It negates any point that you could make. So think about that before you get heavy in the keys, that if that is your only point, you don't have a point. Because you're wrong. Because for every kid that you think has a successful family that takes care of him and whatever, I talked about this last week, I can show you multiple others that are trying to figure out how to make the dream work. Right? Listen, people said the same thing about a guy like Dustin Kanail when he first came on the scene. And trust me, I know Dustin well. That is not his story, Bubba. Go listen to his interview on this very show. People say that. They tend to say that about all young people that are successful in any way. Period. They do. And if that is, again, if that is your, you're entitled to your opinion, obviously. But if your opinion is based in that, you're wrong. You're just wrong. Like the take is wrong. So I don't know. Been a lot more bickering back and forth. Now the thing to do, if you're a guy that doesn't catch them like you used to, is just to make posts about it to stir up the people. Very a la Randy Blockett, right? It is very, he created a platform based on that. And that's, listen, good for him, I say, like, whatever. But I think people need to realize that you're just kind of, you're being played, in my opinion, in that situation. Like, it's something, but whatever. But that's happening more and more every day. And it's just, I saw something come up this week that Wisconsin was looking at banning it. And if you are someone, and I saw some elite pros sharing that, like, in an excited manner, and if you think that a state getting involved to potentially ban something in fishing like that is a good thing based on why they're talking about banning it, man, again, I've said it right here. I don't know where I'm at on all of it, but I know this. I know where I'm at on the state or government banning, like, broad sweeps. It's a slippery slope when you start banning stuff. It's a slippery slope, man, because I say it all the time. Spotlight controller motors assist you to catch more fish. Power poles assist you to catch more fish. Lithium batteries keep you out there longer than ever before. Chargers are better than they've ever been. Motors are bigger than they've ever been. Boats are bigger than they've ever been. They're more stable. You can get to where bass are. Buddy, in a 17-foot Ranger years ago when they're at the St. Lawrence River, they wasn't getting there and back where these guys are catching these big stringers of smallmouth now. Like, you would die, right? So, and I know what the comments will be just based on that comment alone that I just made. But listen, man, 360, side imaging, mapping. Like, if your take is that electronics are hurting it again, then just let's just throw all of it out. But it's a damn slippery slope, dude. It's a slippery slope. When you start with that B-A-N word, be careful. Be careful. So, not to spend too much time on that, man. I'm kind of tired of the whole thing. I love making, like, funny videos about it, but it, dude, people are so triggered. I talked to Gerald Swindle this week about it, and his take is, it's like, it is very much Republicans and Democrats. And I think it's funny, and I'm not trying to pick on Blockett too much in this, but, like, Blockett is a super left-wing dude. And I think it's so funny because people get really triggered in left versus right. And there are definitely people, like, in the rant, like, the only thing they would ever agree with Blockett on from a social level is that LiveScope is bad. Like, there are definitely people that are like, make America great again, Trump 2024. And, like, Blockett would rather die than that happen. Like, I know Randy. Like, I've been around Randy. I know Randy's politics. Over the years, he's made them very clear at times. So I just think that's funny. It's like, they're just all on the same team. At least they can get along about something, you know? You don't want to talk politics. That's what I would challenge Randy to do. Make a video about politics. Talk about politics. Please. Please. And let's see what the fan base does. And, dude, I don't talk politics. I hate politics. But I'm just saying, like, make a video about that. That would be my challenge, is make a video about that. Because, dude, people watching it. People watching it. People love the negativity, no doubt about it. And good for him, I say. Like I said, not trying to pick on Randy. I don't listen, you don't have to think the same way as me about anything for us to be to get along in life. Like, that doesn't, not how I roll very often. So I can get along with just about anybody other than just, like, a couple people. And y'all know who they are. Speaking of them, they're having Red Crest this week. The greatest championship of all time. That's how they're billing it. The championship, fishing championship event of the year. Right before the Bassmaster Classic. That's interesting. I may go sneaking around there. I may be there one day. So if you guys are there, look for the lowlifer. I may be wearing a fake glasses and a mustache so I can creep around Red Crest. No, I may be there. I may be there. I'm thinking about it. Thinking about it. It's close by. I've got to be in the area for the Alabama Bass Trail, so I may swing by Red Crest. So if you guys are there, come say hey. All right, our guest today Let me text him. Our guest today is a Middle Tennessee boy. He's a Tennessee River Rat. He's a three-time now NPFL champion. Narrowly missed being a four-time champ. Narrowly missed being the Angler of the Year. Was dominating the 2021 season. On his way back to the final weigh-in of the season with it locked up. Had a shift actuator go out on an outboard engine. Cost him to be late. Nobody to bring him in. And he lost Angler of the Year to Keith Carson. Keith called him. Keith called him all year in 2021. But it was Brandon Perkins to lose. And he lost it. Redemption. This week, he set the biggest winning margin, won by over 15 pounds on a body of water he'd never seen. He broke the big bass the first day, only to be have it broken again by 3 ounces on the final day there. And he gets the largest three-day total in NPFL history. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get him on the phone. He's a hard-working man, Brandon Perkins. Pickwick Perkins, as we like to call him.
What's going on, man?
Well, here is the champion for all the lowlifers, the champ, the platinum trophy, platinum shield winning champ. Do you have that thing buckled in over there next to you on your long drive home from Amistad?
I got it strapped in, safety belts, and I got the big Happy Gilmore tag bucking up the whole rear.
Yes. Yes. Well, one thing's for sure is when you get pulled over on that long, long, long drive back to Counts, Tennessee, is you could probably just show a state trooper that check, and he'll be like, you know what, get on out of here, bud.
You know, last night when I was rolling out, I had to go back through the Border Patrol or whatever that's called, and he was shining a light around. He's like, what all you got back there in the back seat? Because I've got this Tundra loaded down. I said, man, I got a few things. I got a big trophy back here. He said, will you roll down his back glass? I did, and he shined his flashlight off in there, and he said, what is that? And I said, that's a big check there. And he said, how much? And I said, look, take a look. And he did. And
dude!
I got worried because he was toting several firearms, and I didn't have one in my hand. And he had a clear advantage. And I said, yeah, I didn't get the real check. I just got the fake one today. Hopefully they're going to mail me the real one later.
Dude, I bet has there ever been a champion of a tournament ever in professional bass fishing history, they got checked by the Border Patrol.
No doubt.
Well, it's good to hear. You know, I listened to a podcast this week about how crazy it is on the border from a Border Patrol agent. And I'm glad to hear that they're checking Brandon Perkins from from Counts, Tennessee, while we just seem have people just running all over this great nation of ours, running amok unofficially.
No doubt.
That's amazing. Well, you did a lot of your damage in Mexico, right? In the tournament, you were actually fishing the Mexican side of the lake?
I did. So I mixed it up. I think that, you know, I caught the 10 and 2 sixes, I guess, in American waters, according to my map. I felt lost the entire time. I was lost and found, I guess you could say.
No doubt.
When I figured them out, I was I honestly felt so confident. I mean, I've talked to a couple anglers today while driving, and everybody was like, man, it must have been your area. And I said, you know, yesterday I called a couple audibles and it still worked. I just feel like I was so locked in to exactly what I was looking for. I mean, it had to have those ingredients or else it was, you know, just a crapshoot luck deal. If it had all those ingredients, because that lake's so good that you can catch a big one or catch a lot of numbers or whatever going the crapshoot route. But what I did have dialed in, I don't necessarily think it was area related. I just think that, you know, I honestly landed on some on the second day of practice, and then I was able to piece that little puzzle together, and I ran, you know, the next creek down, and I fished down the whole side of the creek. And then all of a sudden I was like, all right, this part looks just like the last creek, and then I catch like a 6 and a 4, and then I pick up trouble motor, and I run to the next creek, and instead of fishing the entire creek, I I idled around and was like, that's it. And I pulled up and I had a couple more bites and I was like, all right, I got this dialed in. And fortunately for me, it kind of stayed. I know after we talked on day one, man, I was like, you know, I'm scared to death.
Because yeah, you were.
It was warming up so quickly that I knew I was just fishing lead in banks where I know where they're headed. I know what's on their mind. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't until the first day of the tournament that I caught a bass like a male that was just, when you grab it, just peeing everywhere. Yeah, yeah. So that kept me very optimistic. Like they're not as far along in this process as I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, and you did, I called you out on live for it. I told you this, we talked earlier today and I was laughing. This man weighed in, I need all the low lifers to understand, this man weighed in 29 pounds, 9 ounces the first day. He had a 10-6, an 8-pounder. Like, he just had the day of a lifetime in the event of a lifetime for him. And he truly tells me on the phone, he's like, man, if this thing would have been earlier, I think I'd have caught him better. And I said, wait, what? You'd have caught him better? And he's like, yeah, man, if this would have started like Tuesday, he's like, I think they're going away from me. And he's like, and he was not that confident. Like, at all. And I told Fat Cat, I get to the hotel, and I'm like, dude, Perkins is not that confident that he's going to catch him again. He's like, what? And listen, to be fair to Brandon, as I'm giving him a hard time right here, John Cox weighed 27.14 the first day and then weighed 9 and then 7. So it was possible to definitely go the other way. We only saw from day one to day two, there was one Jason Wilson – in the top 10 was the only angler that improved on his day one weight. Everybody else caught less. It was really, the fish were moving a ton. It was very obvious. The weather conditions were horrible. Wind wise on the second day, big front comes in. It got cold the last day. So really not to give Brandon too hard of a time, because anything was possible.
For sure. I mean, and that's what I was scared of. And I honestly think that Amistad, that's kind of its reputation. It's got giants, but they move around a lot. And I did a pretty good bit of research once I decided that hey, I'm in and I'm fishing this thing. Because not to totally get off track, but I have to. So we've had this same conversation before, and I, about being a working man and having to work. And time off work, man. I mean, so when I take off work, I'm totally blessed with a boss and a company that allows me to do that. But it's taxing on my coworkers and my boss when I'm off. So big thanks to them. And honestly, you know, I brought up the championship a month or so ago. My boss was like, hey, no. You've already used your PTO on what you've sent out. So we had a long discussion. I debated on not even going to the championship and just kind of taking that last place check that I had earned throughout the season. But, you know, I talked to Brad about it, and after talking with him, he's like, dude, you're crazy. You got a 1 in 25, 1 in 26 shot at winning 100. And I let that sink in and ended up talking to my boss and decided to go. And obviously at this point, I'm super thankful. I just was not looking forward to that drive. And then missing the time off work was definitely a headache. And it's a lot. But thankfully, the team at work held it down for a week, and I'm hoping they can hold it down for one more day, because I would appreciate sleeping in the morning.
Yeah, so you told me that earlier, man. So let that sink in. Everybody listening, everybody watching, this man just won the first ever MPFL championship. He's now a three-time MPFL champ, should be a four-time champ, had a narrow miss at Lake Winnebago in year one. He had the Angler of the Year title locked up, had a mechanical issue. So as I like to say, he did win Angler of the Year, indeed. Mechanical issue, nothing he did on the water from a fishing perspective cost him that. No knock on Keith Carson. He had a fantastic season that year as well. But Brandon had it won coming into the final weigh-in, has a mechanical issue. But this man almost elected not to go to Del Rio, Texas. And he ends up breaking all the records, other than the big bass now, because of that dadgum Jesse Wise. But I think that's what's so cool about the MPFL is we do have that mix of Patrick Walters Kyle Welchers and Zach Burgess this year. But then we've got Brandon Perkins that He fishes. He fishes very well, obviously. He catches them everywhere we go. And then he turns around, and Monday he's back in the office. And I think that's really cool, man. That's how I approach the FLW Tour. I would fish. I got to fish six events. I got to be a, quote, professional angler for six events. And you know what? And the rest of the time I was taking care of the kids, and I was busting my ass at work. Like, I wasn't getting to leave and go pre-fish for 2 weeks somewhere. To the next event. Like, I brought my butt, just like you're doing right now, so many times. Drive home on a Sunday, drive home on a Saturday, whatever, and I'd be back ready to roll, or leaving to go out of town to do my job on Monday. So I thought that was so interesting. I'm glad you told that, because I literally had it in my notes here to ask you, because the first time we did this, we talked about that, like how it is. You work very hard. How many days do you think you get on the water a year bass fishing, with everything your kids have going on and just life in general?
There's not a single person that's going to believe this that's listening. My buddies, my family, my friends can definitely all back me up on it and attest to it. So last year we had, I get to fish 6 days at each event, 3 days of practice, 3 days of tournament, and we had six events. So I fished 36 days last year in MPFL tournaments, and then I fished 3.5 hours of another day last year. That's how many times I went bass fishing last season. Last year, total year, full calendar year, I went 36.25 days of bass fishing.
And I would like to point out, though, your average, I think that you're smart to do it that way, because you won 100 last year. You won 100 again this year. We got five more events coming up. And, dude, you're not spending as much as a lot of guys that are fishing every Tom, Dick, and Harry tournament they can get their money in. And you're just focusing on family. You're focusing on your career. And then you put on the big boy britches and go compete with the MPFL, and you hang in there in every tournament. And, you know, the most astonishing thought for me, though, is what if Brandon Perkins fished 200 days a year? What would we be seeing? Would you be, it's crazy,
man. Crazy. Yes. So my wife actually made a post. She's a good one, supportive. Even during some really sucky events and some tough times, always there and always, you know, very, very supportive, and always has something positive to say. It may be followed by, or it may follow something negative where she sort of knocks me a little, but no kidding. She made a post Thursday, Friday, sometime, that said the same thing you just said. Like, for a dude that never, ever, ever gets to go bass fishing, this guy can straight catch them. I don't know how he does this and does everything else he does. And I've thought about it. I've said it a ton. And I mean, no knock on the young talent that's out there in bass fishing now.
It's wild.
Is insane.
It's wild.
I feel like I got robbed growing up in a time where we learned how to sort of side scan a little bit on some 2D. I started with a flasher, and then I will never forget getting my first, like, LCX 38 Lorenz.
Yeah.
And being like, dude, I think that's a school over on the side. But no, it's, you know, and now these kids have so much at their disposal,
yes,
information-wise.
No doubt.
Tons of online videos, tutorials, everybody's. Heck, I watch these videos, the front-facing sonar, the live scope, the active target videos, and I'm learning stuff from kids that are half my age.
Yeah.
But I brought that up because I honestly feel, no knock to them, that the key to being good at forward-facing sonar technology is time on the water. And not, I know that you still have to catch them, but I also know that if you let me play on a screen for a little bit every day on the water, that I'm going to figure out how to catch them. I'm going to figure out what they react to and how they react. And right now, that is probably the weakest portion of my game, because I've not devoted the time. And it's not that I don't want to devote the time. It's just that I choose other. I choose life. I choose, you know, I've had this discussion at home. Do I, you know, my girls are 12 and 10 now. They're honestly starting to get, I can see them getting to a point where, so I'm still pretty cool, but my 12-year-old's like, she's half in, half out. I'm like, man, soon enough, going to hate mom and dad. And then when they both get to that point, roll off to college, I just hope I'm healthy enough to get to do it. Because I am. I'm going to dump some time into it at that point. I just, you know, and I guarantee that you can feel this. The older we get, the further removed I feel from this technology portion of fishing. And I want to surround myself. Like this week, I stayed with Will Harkins, who I consider to be on that live scope level. Like, he's one of those dudes. And I want to surround myself around folks like that, that can sort of keep me young, keep me in the loop, in the know just a little bit with technology. And I don't plan on going away, but it's hard to be competitive in year round when you don't have a ton of time on the water. But it would be really neat at some point in life to figure out, to see honestly what I could do if I did fish a lot.
Yeah, you just went all in fishing everything you can and get after it that way. You know, I think it's interesting talking about that forward facing sonar, the time invested. But dude, I think that goes with anything in fishing. And I think you're an anomaly to be able to be this successful. I think it speaks to your intuition. I think it speaks to your angling experience and just how good you are at finding bass and obviously putting them in the boat in crucial moments, because I think that it always, like, time on the water is undefeated, right? It is so undefeated from a sense of even if you're wanting to get better throwing a spinnerbait or a drop shot or learning to ledge fish or learning forward facing sonar, there is no replacement for being out there. None.
Agreed.
But these young guys are dangerous, like you said, because they've got everything at their fingertips informationally. They can learn because everybody puts all their trade secrets on the internet now. Then they got Google, or if they got all those things. And then what they have is what you and I had when we were young, is an insatiable appetite for always wanting to be on the water.
That's right.
And it's dangerous, man. It's dangerous.
For sure. And what's crazy, you said intuition and time on the water. So I've been in the car all day long. I'm just rolling through Forest City, Arkansas, and I pulled up and I was listening, halfway peeping every now and then at you and Fat Cat yesterday doing the live, and I found it pretty stinking cool that, yeah, watching what I've watched so far, I have learned that intuition is pretty neat. Like, I watched myself on live throw a spinnerbait yesterday for the first time, just because I felt it was a spinnerbait deal. And then after 5 minutes later in the live, I see old Patrick Walters flying around a spinnerbait.
Yep.
And I'd be willing to bet that neither one of us had thrown a spinnerbait much at all.
No, not at all.
It's just something that, hey, I've had my teeth kicked in on a breezy day like that, running windblown stuff. And, you know, it's just time on the water. And to me, that you cannot replace it, exactly like you said. And then going back to the intuition part, man, you know, I remember the classic where Randy Howe was running down the river, got his electric blast off, and said, he spun that Triton around and ran back to Browns Creek and said, you know, essentially God put it on me, turned his baby around and go. And, you know, I'm definitely a man of faith. And that, to hear that was like, you know, God's never told me to turn around, man.
Is he not talking to me too?
Yeah, no doubt. I didn't turn around. I ran straight into the zero. You know?
yeah, no doubt.
But I will say that everybody's relationship is a little bit different with the good Lord. But I feel that feeling. You get that feeling. And when you learn, I told my brother this, because I honestly think my brother is a really good fisherman. He just does not trust himself yet, and he sort of freaks out. He's a little amped. And I told him yesterday, I said, man, I got a feeling yesterday morning while I was fishing and only had one little fish, and I was like, I need to run where I started day one and just see, because the wind's got to be blowing into there just a touch. And I trusted that feeling, even though a lot of times it's easy to write those off. And, you know, 15 minutes going down the bank there, I bow up and catch like a 697.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then your wheels start turning, and I said, hey, I got another spot where I caught a four in practice that I hadn't touched yet in the tournament. And I bet, because it's semi-protected, that from this north wind that I bet it's still clean. And I rolled in there, and I was in there for 3 minutes and catch my second almost seven yesterday. So I was like,
incredible.
Just trusting yourself is, and that goes back to the intuition, like just learning how to trust what God's telling you, what the wind's telling you, what, you know, just learning how to trust
that's
something that is very, very difficult. And I honestly think that plays in. I think it helps me a little bit that I don't go fishing a ton because I don't have a lot of preconceived notions. I didn't go pre-practice and I didn't get locked into something that was going away. And, you know, I just kind of go with the flow, and that's a hard thing to do, especially when you pony up a $5,000 entry. It's hard to trust your gut and just go fishing and enjoy it. But this tournament here to me was a free entry fee. And I said, there is no sense in trying to catch 10 pounds a day. Let's pull out the big guns and let's try to win this thing.
And guess what? Guess what, buddy? It happened to work out really well. Man, I'm telling you. We struggled on live with the cell phone service. You know that story. I mean, it was difficult. The cell phones down there are not the best thing. They don't work. Cell service sucks.
No.
Down on the border, and especially with that lake 66 feet low. So it's like being in a canyon all the time, all day long. It kind of blocks that out as well. It doesn't, that damn sure doesn't help. And I was so grateful, though, man, on Showdown Saturday, the final day, that you elected to – you kind of changed up your rotation from the first 2 days a little bit. And when you did that, it gave us the opportunity. You were in areas where you had cell phone service, and we got to be with you on both of those big ones. And so we got to see it, and that helped us be able to feel that emotion, which is cool, and be a part of, you know, this – historic event with you. You know, we got to see that, and man, it was I got chills just thinking about, especially the second one, you know, the nail in the coffin, because all you needed was 4 pounds when you got to the weigh-in to win or whatever it was silly, and but just seeing your confidence and just watching you put it all together on that final day for the first few hours that we got to be with you, because then you left us, and it was your little camera said, sorry, no service the rest of the day. We never got to see it again, but man, it was so special. And for you to be, and I talked a little bit about this earlier at the open of the show, but for you to be one of a few anglers that have fished every single MPFL other than one you missed for an illness, but you have paid for, you have been an MPFL angler since the jump, the first ever tournament like you follow, you've been there, you've supported the league, and for you to be the one to hoist that inaugural championship shield for me was very special. And that's not a knock on anybody. Dude, I would have had the same conversation with anybody. It was going to be special for whoever won it. But for it to be you and how your season ended in 2021, the adversity you faced there with that, and then just continuing to come back, show up, and do it. And I know what you got going on in life, man. You're a very busy dad. You're busy in your work life. Yes, sir, I got you.
Okay, I heard you then.
Okay.
Talk for about 10 more seconds, because I've heard every, like, fifth word.
Every other word? Okay.
It seemed like you said some nice things.
I was saying very nice things, Brandon. I was saying very nice things, but I was saying that it was very cool for me that you were the one to hoist that inaugural trophy.
How difficult is it for me to hang up and you loop me right back in?
Hey, just hang up and call me right back. No problem.
Okay. 10-4.
Brandon Perkins, we'll get it right. We'll get it right. I was saying nice things about him. I was saying great things about Brandon Perkins. He'll go back and listen and be like, man, he was being really nice. I'm normally not even that nice to Brandon. He knows that. Here we go. Let me get you back. I got you back here now, Brandon Perkins on LBL. You're going to go back and listen and be like, man, he was being nicer to me than he's ever been.
Yeah,
and you
no could, doubt.
And you I, couldn't
I
hear me.
Part of it. But I was looking at my phone. I'm like, man, I'm not in Mexico. I got service here. I got like
you are on I-40, and you said Forest City, and I travel that stretch a lot in life, and cell phones hate that area right there. So
no doubt about it.
Definitely could be a possibility. Could be me here though. You know, in Middle Tennessee, every now and then we get some funky signal. You never know, man. But well, let's talk about the rest of the year, dude. You got Hartwell, where you absolutely were in the running for a Shield there. The last time we were there, we got that in May, a little bit later than we were there the last time. But then we go right after that, we go back home, baby. Counts, Tennessee, the home pond. You got a lot to live up to there. I mean, the third time, can the third time be the charm yet again for Pickwick Perkins? Yeah. I mean, dude, you got to defend the home turf. What are we thinking about that one?
I'm thinking already with this caliber of anglers and as many boats as there are, that y'all may drop the Pickwick in front of my name and just roll with Amistad Perkins.
The champ. We'll always call you Pickwick Perkins just because when you go two for two at two different times of the year, we got to call you Pickwick Perkins. Just that's just always going to stick. And, dude, you're representing Pickwick, man. Pickwick, damn, Tennessee. Counts, Tennessee, like the outpost. Come on, dude.
No doubt.
You are Pickwick Perkins.
Yes. And honestly, I think that's why it's the one that I least look forward to.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure, not because of the fishery. July is absolutely brutal on the Tennessee River. Everybody that fishes there knows that. But it's the pressure I put on myself, because I do. I feel like the weight of my local community, and I don't want to let people down. But at the end of the day, dude, two for three is not bad at all. I'm going to shoot. I'm very well may zero, because I don't plan on changing my strategy based on who's fishing the tournament. I've thought a good bit about it. I've actually laid up in bed at night and been like, man, with this full field, and this caliber of anglers, offshore-wise, because I can think off the top of my head, I can rattle off a bunch.
We got a bunch this year. Yeah, we got a bunch.
So, you know, I've thought, do I want to get in one of those situations where you end up sitting on a hole and sitting on a hole waiting on them to fire? Because you know if you leave, you may not get another. And that's not my style. I'm going to run around like a maniac, and I may not be able to get on anything at all, and I may end up throwing a buzz bait, you know, somewhere crazy, because I cannot get on a school of bass. But I'm going to do it my way. But the rest of the schedule, so last time we went to Hartwell was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It was earlier. I still do think that some of the stuff will be playing. I think that there'll possibly still be a few late spawners. Maybe a little late heron spawn. I do think that some of those live scopers will show out. If I was picking a fantasy team, I would have those guys on there.
Patrick Walters, Trent Palmer.
Yeah. We gotta get with Brad. We need a fantasy fishing, man.
We do need a fantasy MPFL fantasy fishing league.
I think
for sure.
It would be cool.
It'd be very cool.
But no, I'm super pumped. Hartwell was absolutely beautiful. Those facilities at Green Pond are second to none.
Top notch.
They're unbelievable. So I'm excited about that. And then obviously Pickwick. And then what's next? What's after Pickwick? Is it Saginaw?
I think we go Sag. Yeah, we go Saginaw. Then we got St. John's River in the fall. And then Lake of the Ozarks to end the year.
Okay. So the year end, I'll say this. I had old Travis, cameraman Travis, my boy.
Yeah.
And we were hanging out at Eufaula. And I'm telling you, Eufaula was the only tournament that Travis has ever hung out with me that I did not win. When he gets in my boat,
it's trouble.
The deal. And Eufaula, we did pretty well. I needed a 4.5 pounder to win the last day. And I feel like I very possibly had that bite and broke it off. But Travis, I'm trying to think of Lake of the Ozarks is what I was getting at. So, Travis, while we're at Eufaula, he says, man, tell me about some of your favorite fisheries. And I think we were just trying to make a little bit of TV because
yeah.
it was 400 degrees outside, and it was a little bit miserable. So we're talking about favorite fisheries, and I said, man, here's the ideal trail. And I went through, and I had Lake of the Ozarks, and
yep.
I had Pickwick, Lake of the Ozarks, Hartwell, and Travis is like, he starts getting kind of weird back there, and I was like, what is happening? And I never addressed it with him, but then when the schedule came out, I was like, I know why he started acting weird, because I think he knew the schedule. Honestly, looking at this year's schedule, Lake of the Ozarks is the one that I circle.
Okay.
And I know that is crazy, crazy hard to believe, but it is – it's up my alley. It is exactly what I love to do. I just don't get to do it often.
Yes, sir.
I feel like it's going to be the same type stuff I did at Eufaula, and I absolutely love skipping a jig around and throwing a topwater a little bit. And, that one is one, which I know we got some absolute hammers that are also looking forward to it. I know we got a rookie, Brock Bela, that's from there that showed out at Logan Martin.
That's
He's
right.
going to be a handful. But that one is I'm super pumped for Lake of the Ozarks. Now, I don't want to skip a bunch of tournaments. I absolutely despise Florida. that one is the one that I have, like, circled as, like, that one could be whether I make the championship or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I started the year rough at Logan Martin, and part of that was on me. Part of that was some mechanical failures, you know, in a tough tournament like that. You cannot have a day like I did when I had those mechanical failures, and it stunk. But you know, I've put myself in that situation before, and battled out of it. And I mean, everybody saw Patrick skipped an event last year and still finished in the top five. And I'm not quite Patrick, but I think I might can still make that top 25, man.
No, it's top 40 this year. Top 40.
Oh, it is.
It's 40. Year, yeah, right? We're taking so with the bigger field. Yeah, bigger field taking 40.
Speaking of that, that was one thing that I absolutely loved this week was having 25 dudes on the water. And I told – I stayed with Will Harkins this week, and right across the street was Richard Cooper and Jason Wilson, Brad Staley, and that bunch, and we had – we all talked about it and had dinner several nights. And I said, man, what I love about this is that this place is big, but it's going to fish enormous. And I think some people were scared that it was going to fish tiny. And I was like, it's enormous. And I think those were the guys that were looking for grass because there wasn't much. I never really found any green, fresh hydrilla, anything like that. I found some old, dead, brown stuff that didn't have any bass in it for sure. But, you know, I love that small field, and 40 is definitely not too big either. You can do whatever you want to do. You can go wherever you want to go. And those championship events excite me because of, you know, Brad said, joking around, over or under on how many swing for the fences we're going to get on stage.
We have plenty.
And I mean, it's true that people, it is an overused phrase for sure. But at the same time, that's exactly what you're supposed to do in a championship, in my opinion. And hopefully I make this 24 championship and we can swing for it again.
Hey, I call it the Ricky Bobby, Ricky Bobby event.
Doubt.
You got, it's not, whether it's the classic, whether it's the, you got one tournament, who cares? Nobody, I shouldn't say nobody's going to remember who finished second because Jesse Wise did catch a 10-9 on live. It was one of the most epic fish catches it was the most epic fish catch we've ever had on live. It was amazing. The thing looked bigger than him when he drug it over the side of the boat. It was just, there's a clip. You'll see it when you go through that live coverage. And I'm waiting on Fat Cat. He's got a copy of it. He's going to send it to me. But our studio team, so we can see all the cameras. We can see everything going on outside of what the viewer is seeing, right? Like the actual program
sure.
feed. We can see everything going on. And we were not on him live when that happened. So we had to run it as a replay. And I saw him set the hook, and I saw the rod just not move. And he had caught a couple small ones that morning, and that rod just goes, geek, and didn't move. And I'm like, uh-oh. And so we were commentating on Randy Sullivan, though, and Randy was catching a couple, and they were real small ones. And dude, my eyes were on the monitor on this whole thing with Jesse, but I can't say anything out loud. We have to be quiet. And Fat Cat's like, yeah, Randy Sullivan there setting the hook. And I'm literally punching Fat Cat. Like I'm hitting Fat Cat and going, look, and I'm throwing up the number 10 with my hands. I got fives up on both. I'm like, it's a 10 pounder. It's a freaking 10. Like I'm going nuts. And they got all this because we've got camera on us all day, but the folks at home can't see it. And literally our production crew played it at the end of the day over his catch to watch my stupid reaction. And I might as well have been fighting it. How I was acting in the studio. I was doing the best sign language anybody's ever done. And I'm going, no, Randy Sullivan. Yeah, he's catching one. The whole time my eyes are just on this. But then when we got to show it, it was so awesome, man. And his raw emotion coming out. He got real choked up. It was very cool. But certainly I hated it for you because, man, you almost went clean sweep on all the MPFL records right there. But Jesse got you by the last minute. But these are
He's a good dude and a good fisherman.
Yes, he is.
I'm proud. I'm proud he's the one that's got it. And, somebody messaged me last night and said, look, records are meant to be broken. Your 3 days going to get broken. Your largest margin of victory is going to get broken. That's going to get broken. But one thing that I will always have is the first MPFL.
Yes.
Championship champion.
Yeah, that's it, man.
To me, that's pretty special, pretty neat. And I got to thinking about it last night. So year one, when we were gonna have a championship,
right?
You remember where that was?
Right? I do remember.
I said I was gonna be the first NPFL championship champion either way. So I'm messing around, but that baby was gonna be on the Tennessee River in the fall, and I was gonna play like I was Michael Brewer for a week. But
you were juiced up about that one, man, and I was too. For and again, that's what I don't think people realize. And this isn't woe is me or anything, but the roller coaster ride of the MPFL, man, especially that first season, we've been on a journey together, all of us for that sure. Have been there for all of it, man. And I think that's why to have our first ever championship in the books, for it to go like it did, for you guys to have the great time like you did down in Del Rio. Look, when it came out that's where we were going, just like you said, hell, I didn't want to drive to the border. There were so many guys that said that. And because, look, you turn on the news at night, you see what's going on in the world. It's kind of crazy in places. But, man, that Del Rio area was super nice. They welcomed you guys with open arms this week. I could not think of a better place, honestly, for our first ever championship. I heard so many of you guys on live and on stage say, I've never got to fish anywhere like this. And I would not have got to fish this if it wasn't for this MPFL championship. And that was so cool to hear, you know, after we got there and everybody got settled in, how many people actually, you know, were grateful for it. Now, as you head back to work right now on a 20-hour drive, it's a long ways, right? After a week of fishing.
No doubt. But seriously, hit the nail on the head there. It Amistad is one of those places that it's kind of like, honestly, from what it was years ago when I was a kid and watched Denny Broward jack them out there, you know, in the more recent times, it is one of those places that's kind of bucket list.
It is.
But it's one of those places that I never, ever would have went to.
Yeah.
Without this championship being there. And I honestly think, one thing I loved about it is it was an even playing field. Because we the way the rules are written and the way that, you know, we work at MPFL, we can get a little information up until a certain point. And regardless of whether anybody got any information or not, none of that was applicable because the lake was totally different than the lake was a year ago when we could get information. So it's you know, I thought it was the most level playing field possible, and it set up perfectly. I enjoyed it, and like you said, the town was awesome. I mean, I've already watched one clip today of while I was driving down the road, and all I can hear is my chase boats.
Fan club.
So grand, and they were getting crunk. And I didn't know those guys before this event. I'd never spoken with them. So Ryan Satterfield, and me and Will Harkins were going to stay together. Well, Ryan and his wife had the baby this week, and he didn't show up. Well, he had booked this house for us, so me and Will and Will's dad went ahead and just stayed there, and the guy that rented Ryan the house came over and introduced himself, and then he said, hey, look, I'm gonna cook out for you guys on Wednesday if y'all are cool with it. Well, he invited Richard Cooper and that whole bunch. The next thing I know, we get over there, and there's a doggone party going on.
Yeah.
This dude is a chef of all chefs, and we went over there and ate on Wednesday night, Friday night, and then again last night.
That's awesome, man.
Awesome. And it was a bunch of locals. Cool. I mean, very welcoming. Honestly, I feel like that local community was thrilled to have us there.
Yeah.
And more appreciative than anywhere that I've seen us go to, honestly.
I think that you get that, especially like we're talking about mainstream media painting a picture of what the border is like. And it is, right? Like in places, it's horrible, right? Like that has to be said. But I think it hurts a town like a Del Rio that's such an amazing place. Like you said, Amistad, a bucket list fishery. Is it 2007 Amistad? It's not. But does it still have giants? Buddy, we fished 3 days and weighed in 210 pounders, okay? There were a lot of anglers that caught their personal best during practice. There were a lot of anglers that lost their personal best during the tournament. You know, when I hear a guy like John Cox tell me after day one he has 27-14 and he goes, bro, I saw enough today to maybe have 40. I mean, you said it. You're like, dude, if somebody caught 35 plus, I wouldn't be shocked. It's a great fishery. Another positive that I saw was the number of small bass that anglers caught on live. That is the sign of a healthy fishery, right? Like there's a lot of bites to be had down there. So if you get a wild hare for a cool vacation, I say go see the folks in Del Rio, man.
No doubt about it. It was a cool deal. And one thing that threw me off, because I've just always associated Amistad with like flooded bushes, flipping, you know, you can grass fish just from what I've seen. And then I've just remembered, like, I just visualized it as some bushes, higher water, and you just big line just bowing up on magnums. And then I got there and I'm like, ooh, none of this stuff's in the water really. and you know, but what blew my mind is the smallmouth.
Yes.
I probably caught 20 smallmouth a day doing what I was doing. Now,
insane.
I weighed in one yesterday, and it looked like, I don't know, did you see
that one?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Yeah, we did.
It missed me, and I watched it, and I thought that I had the lake record smallmouth. It looked like it was 4 foot long. Now, those smallmouth over there are the puniest.
Yes, they're poor.
That thing was probably, I weighed it a 6'9" smallmouth in the MPFL last year at Pickwick.
Yep.
And lengthwise, they looked exactly alike.
Jeez. That's a statement.
6'9" and a 288. They're just built different.
288. Well, John Cox had a 3-pounder the first day, and he caught a 6-pound largemouth to cull it, and he was bummed out about it.
Yes, I remember.
He was like, I wanted to weigh in a 3-pound smallmouth. We saw him catch one on a swimmer on day two. Not as big as that one, but yeah, on the clip, you were like, dude, I thought that thing was like 5 pounds when it bit. I think the lake record's 5-something there on smallies. But yeah, that blew my mind. I knew it had a few in it, but the sheer numbers that we saw guys catch, and to think that you're in Mexico, basically, like that's wild to think about, man. Very wild. Well, dude, I greatly appreciate you taking the time out of your drive to do this. And man, I respect the hell out of you. I'm grateful to know you. I'm, you know, just cannot say congratulations enough. And I'm proud you're representing the Shield, man, the first ever champ, Brandon Perkins. Pretty stinking awesome.
No doubt. I like the ring of it. I'm super pumped to put this ship. You know, my wife was like, where are we going to put this? And I said, wherever I want to. You know,
on the hood of the truck, baby.
We're about to figure this out. But no kidding, I'm super thrilled to have, you know, three of them at this point. Like we said, I wish it was five, and it may be five before the year's over with, or it may be three. Who knows?
But come on, let's go.
For you guys, man, I don't ever get to watch the live. And I've sat here and went through some of this and listened to some as I'm driving today. Dude, you and Fat Cat got it going on. Most entertaining that I keep up with. And I do. I have a lot of free time working where I'm in the car. And, oh, my goodness, I'm coming up on a wreck or something. y'all do an awesome job. MPFL, I don't know.
Thank you, man.
Brad and the bunch do, keep up with the podcast here. They put on a show, and I am 100% certain at this point. There were some times where I doubted it. I am 100% certain that MPFL will succeed and will be around for as long as they choose to be.
No doubt.
The work that they put in, and they've got the right folks on board, and there's not a doubt in my mind that they'll continue to get the Patrick Walters and the Kyle Welters and John Cox and those guys, which is terrible news for guys like me. But I'm all for them doing well and succeeding. And if that means we have 50 of the best 100 anglers in the world, I'm for it. But speaking of that, at what point, dude, are some MPFL dudes going to be in this angler rankings? Because I think there's a few of them that absolutely deserve it. Todd Goad last season, if he wasn't one of the best 100 anglers on the planet, I don't know who was.
Buddy, let's talk about the fact that he is still on a run. Now, the championship, I'll exclude the championship because he didn't end up making the top 10 there at Amistad. He barely missed it. But the man has 7 top 10s in a row. He started with a top 10 at Logan Martin season. 7 top 10s in a row. Give me a freaking break, right, dude. Like, that's nuts.
No doubt. And say what you want as far as, maybe the elites or maybe BPT, whoever. So I get it. There are better anglers in other circuits that are better maybe than our middle half, lower half, upper half, whatever it is.
However you want to compare it.
Full of absolute hammers. And at the end of the day, if you catch 18 pounds a day on average for the season, I don't care what trail you're in, you're in contention for AOI.
No doubt, baby.
That dude's on another planet right now, consistency-wise.
Yeah, it really surprised me.
It's not like he's won a bunch. He's not had those 27-pound bags and won, but if he keeps putting himself in contention every tournament, he's going to wind up with more shields than anybody.
Oh, no doubt. And you know, he had an opportunity there at Santee, and Patrick ended up taking it last year, and he fished it. I mean, like, a perfect event, other than the fact that Patrick fished a little bit more perfect. You know what I mean? Like, Todd just had an incredible event, but the same could be said for Will Harkins or even Jesse Wise. Their seasons last year from a finish standpoint, any of those three dudes had the season of a lifetime. Todd just had a more perfect one. Like, it's incredible to see, man. And I think we'll see Todd with a shield at some point. Hartwell could definitely be that week for him this year, for damn sure. He is dialed up on that lake. So, no, you're right, man. We've got some stone cold killers over there, especially this year. And listen, we're only one event in, Bubba. We got a ride to go, man. 5 left, it's going to be a lot of fun, dude. A lot of fun.
No doubt. Man, I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, dude.
You know, I had an awesome week. I got to thank my sponsors. I rarely mention them because everybody knows who they are, but I'm super thankful for them and their support. And I know that some of them are actually, they've started keeping up with fishing and they have tuned in to you guys and honestly probably will listen to this podcast. So I want to thank them. I would not be able to do this without them. And the support, text messages, phone calls, I know that there's times where I feel like I don't get back to everyone appropriately, but I promise I read those and they make me smile and keep me rolling. And just appreciate it. It's been an awesome week, and I'm looking forward to sleeping in my bed tonight, but I am honestly ready to roll to Hartwell. As well as I do, when you get the momentum rolling, you want to go. Let's go fishing right now. But I'm ready to see what the rest of the season holds, man. But thanks for having me on.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll catch you up soon.
And no doubt about it. Brandon Perkins, everybody, the champ right there. NPFL, the inaugural champ from the National Professional Fishing League. I appreciate him joining me on his long, 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 long drive back to Middle Tennessee. I cheated a little bit. You know, I was in Wisconsin. And then I caught me that Southwest bird back to Nashville. I was home by, 8 o'clock last night. Fat Cat drives to the studio because he's a maniac. Fat Cat Newton is a maniac. You need to understand that about Fat Cat. He drives from Virginia to Appleton, Wisconsin, like 16 hours or something. And as I record this today, he's probably still not home. But I got to jump. I did not get to go to Del Rio. Unfortunately, I missed out on that. But again, congrats to Brandon. Congrats to the league for, having this long-awaited championship, man, and it being such a first-class event. Everybody was really pumped about it. Do not forget, March 23rd, Bassmaster Classic, Low Budget Live, The Hunt Club. Can't wait to see y'all there. We'll take you out with some Biloxi Blues. We'll see y'all next week.
Sweet. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.